Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home. The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Yo, welcome in, everybody. This is the QB List Podcast. Time to jump into some free agency freakouts. We are here, of course, with Brian, Nick, and Mario, the waiver wire wizard. We haven't seen him in a bit. How are we doing, y'all?
Brian, Nick, I am happy to be here. We're talking fantasy football in March. I mean, perfect time for it. It's never too early. Some people say it's like the Labor Day time. It's like 4th of July. It's like, no, this is March. Before March Madness, we're setting our lineup, so I love it.
Yeah, this is the degenerate time, and I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here with you, Mario. Also prepping for a big snowstorm tonight out here in Colorado, so that's pretty exciting as well, on top of this 48 hours of chaos that's been going on in the NFL.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine snow right now. It is 75 degrees here in Virginia. Yeah. Snow is just off my radar for at least. Oh, yeah,
we got between 1 and 2 feet coming tonight, somewhere in that.
Oh my gosh, get your shovel.
Hard pass. Well, yes, probably should jump right into it because it has been a very active free agency ever since the we'll call it the tampering period opened up on Monday. It's been quite crazy. We are recording this Wednesday night. Should be listening to this probably Thursday or into the weekend. So anything wild happened from Thursday on, we'll miss that, but we've got plenty to jump into, so here we go.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Well, the biggest one, I think we have to jump into Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta, leaving his lovely 5 years in Minnesota. He's got a 4-year, $180 million deal, and Drake London, that's all I can think of. What about y'all?
Yeah, Drake London. I mean, I'm stoked for him. Obviously, I don't think this affects Kyle Pitts' value. Like, Pitts is still in the dumpster. But seriously, it probably bumps it a little bit. I hate to admit it, but we've seen TJ Hockenson had some great time in Minnesota. So I wouldn't be surprised to see if Pitts now, finally, how many years in, is going to have his bump. That's going to hurt me. This is going to be my hardest year being a Kyle Pitts hater. But I think, like you already mentioned London, but I think Pitts is going to really skyrocket on charts.
Yeah, this is absolutely huge for the London Truthers. I have him in a few leagues and have just been waiting on him to have an average or better quarterback. So this is going to be great to have a balanced attack with Bijan. It's going to be great for London. We'll get to Darnell Mooney, but he's got a bit of a bump there. And then Pitts, I think you can go either way. I'm still not giving up on Pitts, but I think this is a good time if you are a hater, then... Just in the past 2 days, he's gone from tight end 7 to tight end 4 on keep trade cut. And this is above guys like Hockenson, Kincaid, and Mark Andrews. So if you're not a believer and you've been holding on for a few years, now is probably the perfect time to get out of here because he's skyrocketing again.
Damn, that's an increase, that's for sure, after all the hate he's had these last few years.
Yeah, for a guy who hasn't really done anything the past 2 years, tight end 4 is pretty high up there.
Oh my
gosh. He's been scoring touchdowns internationally for a while now. So I don't think we should take away too
much. He gets his one a year.
Yeah, he's a tight end two to Janu.
Yeah, dude, that's what I was saying. Yeah, okay.
Johnny down in Miami, too. Oh, man.
I know.
Speaking of quarterback upgrade, though, Saquon is finally playing with probably his best quarterback since Eli, maybe his best quarterback overall. Signs a three-year deal for $37.25 million to go play in the in Philadelphia. Mario, come on. How are we feeling?
Oh, my gosh. I will say, when I saw that we got Saquon, first thing I looked at, like, fantasy aside, which is, like, how much are we paying him? I saw the number. I'm like, that's a lot of money for a running back. But and Howie, we trust. The cap went up, so we're kind of living with it. But biggest thing that I saw these numbers getting thrown all around Twitter, was that if we're just looking at the run block win percentage of the Giants compared to the Eagles over the last 2 years. So 2023, the Giants run block win percentage, they were ranked 31st in the NFL. Philadelphia was ranked the first. So he's going... It really could not be a higher swing. I guess it could from 32nd to 30, but like the highest swing imaginable. So I'm really excited about Barkley. I think he's going to get a ton of value. Swift, we kind of saw, would be explosive here or there, but I'm really excited about Barkley. We also have Kellen Moore, who we saw in Dallas, just kind of loves establishing the run, running the ball. So I'm really excited about this. And last note I got to end on is that we know how much Jalen Hurts squats. We know how much Barkley squats. Like, I was worried about the tush push regressing without Jason Kelce, but Barkley kind of gives me more confidence that we can keep on tush pushing.
There's a lot of hammy strength in that backfield now.
Yeah, there's nothing but good here. This is an interesting year specifically because typically the analytical people in Dynasty will tell you that you want to sell running backs on the second contract or on the franchise tag year. A lot of these guys are going to be strongholds for me right now. Saquon going over to the best team and best line that he's ever had. He's still like a top five talent in this league. He was the number two overall pick in 2018, and that is a rarity for running backs to go anywhere near the top 10 outside of last year with Gibbs and Bijan. But even with Kelce gone, this offensive line is going to be significantly better. With that money paid too, maybe they decide to protect Jalen Hurts a little bit and allow their running backs to score some goal line touchdowns too. And it is funny too, because we look at this number and we're like, man, he got paid $37 million. And then we look at Darnell Mooney, who got 3 years, $39 million, I believe. And it just shows you the positional value that GMs put in, but very atypical for Howie Roseman and the Eagles to be going all in on a big time running back like that.
That's true. And Nick, we can all hear it as our resident Patriots fan here. We can hear the sadness in your voice. You want to talk about your running back for your team. Your team went buck wild there, bringing in Jacoby Brissett as quarterback, re-signing Kendrick Bourne, and of course, bringing in a big toting ball guy, Antonio Gibson. Come on, tell us.
The big smile behind here, but we are stoked here with the new regime and the third overall pick and the third most cap space in the league. And we've done literally nothing. And I have no idea what's going on back there. But I don't hate the signing overall. Gibson's a very strong pass blocker. I think he was a receiver in college before they kind of forced him into a full-time running back role and had to switch his entire position. So I picture him being in more James White role. Yep, James White, Shane Vereen, like all these guys that the Patriots have had for so many years. And I think that's how he should be used, because he is a versatile third, more of a third down back. And Ramondre will take first and second downs. A lot of the short yards.
He can't catch. So it's good that we got Gibson who can.
Yeah, Ramondre can't catch. But we don't see that the three down running back too much anymore. So I'm not too surprised that they would bring somebody in here. And unless you're Saquon, unless you're one of those guys who has that rare skill set and capabilities, then you're probably not going to have the backfield to yourself. I mean, even Zeke was still feeding back there for the second half of last year mostly. But, yeah, I don't know. Not an exciting signing, not the worst signing, but they certainly have a lot of work to do still.
And now I want to get to what I think is the most fun of all of the running backs here. Let's hop on the carousel and let's go from every NFC North team, because it got a hot mess here. Josh Jacobs, I think this was the most shocking signing to me over the first couple of days, goes to Green Bay, and DeAndre Swift is heading to Chicago. who likes which one more, and why are these teams just swapping? David Montgomery's over in the Lions now. Like, what's going on?
Oh my gosh, one that I think I like the most, and you didn't even mention in this NFC North just love fest, is Aaron Jones going to Minnesota. I think I'm most excited about him because Aaron Jones in his career has showed out against the Bears. Last year, he dominated the Bears 26.7 in one game, 19.1 in another. I expect him to continue doing that. I know so many things, so many factors change, but I think he's still going to do that. Aaron Jones, we've seen how he does when he plays in Dallas. He has that revenge game animal in him because he's from that area. I expect him to do that against Green Bay. So I think Aaron Jones, I know he has the injury scare, but I'm just really excited about Aaron Jones and his pop-off games there.
I couldn't agree more. I love Aaron Jones. And I think as far as a fantasy and dynasty perspective, he's a good buy low for contenders. He's, I believe, like 29 years old, 28, 29. And he's on a one-year deal with Minnesota. They're probably going to have a young quarterback. But he's got the three-down skill set. If he's on the field, he's a good rusher. He's a good receiver. And with Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Hawkinson down the line, all kind of spreading out the field, he's going to be open a lot underneath, and he's going to see a lot of checkdowns, especially if they have a J.J. McCarthy or one of the younger quarterbacks who's coming in. So,
Darnold.
Sam Darnold, yeah. And he's got on a one-year deal. That means Minnesota has no reason not to just ride him into the ground this year too.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be quite as bad in Minnesota as, you know, you would initially think with Kirk Cousins leaving there. Definitely excited for Aaron Jones. They spent a good amount of money on the defensive side as well. Seems like they're just swapping defensive players with the Texans right now. But Minnesota, once they make some sort of move in the draft, I think they're going to be an exciting team. DeAndre Swift is just killing any hope that we had for Roschon Johnson and or Khalil Herbert, if you still had any hope there. Yeah. This is going to be a muddy backfield with three of them, I feel like.
Yeah, I kind of feel that same way. We saw a little bit of that with Swift last year. He kind of did emerge over Rashard Penny and Boston Scott, the guy who always dominates the Giants. So Swift Kenneth Gainwell, thank you. There's another one. So Swift kind of emerged as the head of that three-headed monster, but then you still had games where Swift would have, you know, six carries for 10 yards and no receptions. I'm just like, okay. And I kind of see more of that happening here. So I think he's still going to be that boom bust kind of guy. Good for best ball, but you know, just buyer beware if you have him.
Yep, I agree with that as well. Crowded backfield here. The money would suggest that Swift is probably going to get the first crack at everything. But we saw the Bears kind of rotating this through all season long without any real telling or explanation of why. For dynasty or fantasy purposes, I kind of like buying Roschon or Herbert, even though this isn't a good sign for their stock. Swift is a great player and was highly touted coming out of college, but he's had a long injury history, and we're kind of forgetting about why the Lions got rid of him, and a lot of it was for that reason. And now we're in another spot where we've seen these guys show flashes. We've seen Herbert put up good numbers. We've seen Roschon a little bit, but you know, there's a chance he gets injured and one or both of them end up stepping right back in. So now would probably be the time to go see what they're valued at.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, just to touch on Josh Jacobs, because, you know, might as well hit all these guys. So this one I thought was the most, I'll say, interesting. Like, one, Green Bay is not the team I kind of have in mind to, like, go and get free agents. But I'm not too sure how I feel about this fit. Like, Jacobs finished 28th last year for running backs. I kind of think he finishes mid-20s again. Like, I think this offense is better than the Raiders were. Like, the Raiders were an absolute disaster last year between the Josh McDaniels and just really everything. So I think that if you're optimistic, you think Josh Jacobs could finish as a top 20 running back, if you think Love's going to continue to develop, if you think just overall the fit is better, I think he's a good one to try to target. But me personally, I think this kind of – I don't see a lot of value here. I think he's still going to be about the same.
Yeah, I agree. Still that upside. I think there's going to be volume there for him, but
I'm still in on Jacobs. He's the youngest of all these guys. First of all, I think he's only 25, 4 year, $48 million contract. They got rid of, they pretty much cleaned house just to bring him in, and not necessarily putting, you know, all my money on him being an RB1, but for the past few years, he's kind of been around. He's been an RB1 for two of the last three. 2021, he was RB14, but he missed two games. This past season, he was, RB27, I think it was, but he missed four games in that process. Raiders also just had a stacked box all the time. I think we've seen that LaFleur is smart enough to be able to create lanes. And I don't know, I'm not necessarily banking on him being an RB1, but I think a safe RB2, and I'd be willing to take that bet.
Volume, for sure, I would definitely bet on that.
Now I guess to you guys.
My biggest worry would solely be just the pass catchers, the two tight ends and what four wide receivers they've got with Dobbs and Reed and Wicks and Watson. Like, there's so much going on in Green Bay. I think that's kind of my worry, is maybe he's a little bit more of a boom bust, like a very safe floor, but that ceiling might come and go week to week. Speaking of coming and going, let's talk about Russell Wilson.
Oh my God.
He's come to Denver. He's left Denver. The Danger Witch is off to the Steel City, Steelers country. Insert corny line here. He's got the vet men. So Broncos are paying like $38 million of his salary this year. I don't hate it. I think this is what's going to finally push the Steelers over that hump. They're going to get that 10th win, and they're going to be 10-7 this year. They're going to make the playoffs and bounce first round. And Tomlin, he keeps that record going. That's what I'm like, it's great. I'm excited for him.
Okay. So I think I'm really trying to wrap my head around this, because I'm excited about the Russ Redemption Tour, I'm going to call it. Because I think he got too much slander, like more slander than he deserved last year. And kind of like in Denver overall, right? Like his first year with Nathaniel Hackett was a disaster. And then Sean Payton kind of openly hated him, I'll say. So I think that also didn't really bode well. But now he's going to Pittsburgh, which as of right now, I think has much worse weapons that he's going to be working with. Like, he doesn't have Cortland Sutton anymore. Jerry Jeudy wasn't great.
Or Deontay Johnson.
Like, right. Like, that was something I was the least excited about. So I just don't know who he's going to throw the ball to. He had 17.7 points per game last year, but again, there's the trade-off of worse weapons, but your coach doesn't hate you, so you'll probably just get more opportunities. I guess I'm kind of just looking at him, and I'll say this for like redraft, is just like, he's someone where it's like, you know, you're punting for quarterback, you're drafting your quarterback like round 12 after some other people have their bench, you know, bye week filler. I think that's kind of what Russell Wilson is right now, is a gamble.
Yep. I would say the same thing. I think it's more obviously now with Deontay gone, a little bit of a boost for Pickens, and I'm not necessarily a Pickens truther, but if Russ is good at one thing, it's just throwing a moon ball and hoping somebody comes down with it. And historically, he's been very good at that. But Pickens is the dude who's going to come down with it every time. And I think the conversation with Pickens is always, can he create separation? I know I wrote a few articles about the Steelers this year, and he just, you know, he continues to put up some of the numbers. It's just that some of the games he catches four back shoulder fades and ends up with 90 yards and a touchdown while he does it. So he's going to get a lot of targets, wide receiver two, wide receiver three range probably. But in the beginning of the season when Deontay was gone, he was, I think, a wide receiver one for first like quarter, four or six games of the season, something like that. So I'm not buying Russell Wilson. I'm curious how long it takes for Mike Tomlin to hate him, because Steelers country and, you know, the Steelers pride, you know, that town is built on like tough people. And Russell Wilson does not strike me like that at all. He just strikes me as someone who's like talking into his phone all the time and, you know, walking around with his head down on the sideline.
All right. He's as soft as that Italian herbs and cheese that he puts his Danger Witch on.
Oh my gosh. He's Danger Russ. This is Danger Russ.
I will say, like, this is going to be the beginning of my Najee parade again this year. I feel like every other year I've been on Najee, and this is the year I'm going back to the well. He had a bad year last year. That ADP should be dipping. And what do we see these talented running backs thrive with? These old, busted quarterbacks who dump off. Big Ben, back when, early with the Le'Veon Bell days, Saquon with Eli in his first year, Najee with Big Ben in his first year. So, like, I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be dump offs galore, and I'm super excited to see.
And Arthur Smith coming in too.
Did you see he's talking to Brock Bowers?
Yeah, I saw that.
Uh-oh.
Mario,
uh-oh.
I need your help again, because I don't know how we made it through last season with Arthur Smith, but oh my gosh, we're going to be talking about him again. Deep breath,
he's,
Brian.
He's just got too much, like, they've got so much family money. He doesn't care. He's just out here to mess with people's dynasty teams. He's not out here to coach. He's just like, I'm going to take your best players and I'm going to let you think that they're healthy, put them on the field and not give them a touch.
I'm convinced he's on fantasy Twitter. He's going through there. All right, this is what they want.
Yeah, he's just trolling.
Watch this.
I love
God, he's the worst. Speaking of the worst, Mac Jones proved to be just that, and he got shipped off for a bag of peanuts, and he's with Jacksonville now. So backing up Trevor Lawrence, his draft mate. Gross. Speaking of gross, let's talk about one of the worst offensive lines in football, the Tennessee Titans. Guess who's running back there? Tajay Spears. I know we're all excited about it until Tony Pollard pulled into town. Yeah,
he had me fooled on that one.
3 years, 24 mil. Tell me, who's excited there?
I mean, Tony Pollard was like round two, round one guy last year. He stunk. He's going to stink again this year. That's how I feel about Tony Pollard. Not even just like as an Eagles fan hating on a Cowboy. He just like genuinely was bad. He was really disappointing. I think he had just a few games like with a touchdown. I don't know, what was it? It took like seven games until he got a touchdown. I'll have to fact check myself because I think it was even worse than that, but he was bad. That's all.
Yeah, I do think Dallas used him improperly, and I think they know that as well. I'm pretty sure he finished as RB14, so I don't think he came off as poorly as everybody wanted. I think everybody was hoping for a top five season, and he just was never going to get that. I don't love the landing spot. I don't really understand it from a GM perspective, but Tennessee's skill positions kind of looking good between Ridley, Hopkins, Chigakonkwo, Treylon Burks, if he can stay on the field. Burks. And then you got Spears and Pollard, who are both similar skill set, which is a little weird. You'd think that they'd try to bring in more of a bruiser and try to dominate the trenches. They signed a new center who came from Denver and was like the number one center available in free agency. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a better season for him. I think he was better in the efficiency role for sure. And having 12 to 15 touches is kind of where he should live. But yeah, he's probably going to be a low end RB2 at best next year.
I want to correct myself. He had two touchdowns week one against the Giants, 22 points. And then his next touchdown came in week 11. So that's Tony Pollard.
It was a rough span. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned Calvin Ridley, probably the top name at the wide receiver position. 4 year, $92 million. I will say, I feel like they're pushing it all in, and this is Will Levis's year. If he can't prove it this year, they're moving on and drafting, but they're going into this year with a without a doubt mindset. Hey, we've got three pretty good pass catchers, two pass catching running backs, and then also, you know, you got Chig out there at tight end. So I'm excited to see if he can elevate this team to a, you know, middle third offense. You know, can they get out of the bottom eight, bottom 10? I don't know. It'll be interesting. New coach, new regime.
Yeah, kind of just piling on that is, I think you're so right about, like, you know, I like what Tennessee is doing, I'll say, is that they're putting the money in the skill positions while you're paying Will Levis nothing. If he's bad this year, you're going to end up with a top 5, 10 pick, you know, hopefully top 5, then you get a quarterback next year. And you already have all these skill positions under contract. So I like what they're doing. They're doing the rebuild, finally. Happy for him.
Yeah, then they're wasting no time with it. I still think they had plenty of opportunities to trade Derrick Henry, but held on to him for whatever reason. Probably could have got a fourth or something out of that. The saddest news of this probably is Jacksonville, who seemed to outbid themselves by making sure they got Gabe Davis right away as free agency started and then couldn't afford to keep Calvin Ridley afterwards. So good for Ridley to get paid. I don't know about his fantasy stock moving forward. I don't know if this is necessarily better. Gabe Davis, not going to be, I can't imagine that Jacksonville is going to unlock anything that Josh Allen couldn't have, but it's just a very curious move, I think, on their part to try and replace Ridley with Davis, two very different styles of play of receivers.
Was Gabe Davis just missing the target share though? Like, he was never going to get that elite target share with Diggs being there, with Allen running the ball the way he does. Does this give Gabe Davis that possibility of breaking that 20% threshold and like that target share? And does that give him you know, that touchdown upside. If he's seeing enough targets, then those big breakout plays, I mean, wouldn't you think that there's still a high chance of coming? I need you to talk me out of Gabe Davis is what I'm saying.
I would sell him to you if I had him. I think the biggest boost is Christian Kirk, who sits at like wide receiver 37 or something on keep trade cut right now. And he finished the year injured. He's just going to dominate targets once again. He was like a low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two years ago. And between him, Gabe Davis, and Zay Jones, he's going to be the safety blanket. Him and Evan Engram probably are going to get the biggest boost out of this. But Davis could flirt with 6 to 8 touchdowns easily. He's just that big dude who might get a couple end zone targets.
Yeah. Which is what he was before. Right. Yeah, like I think Gabe Davis didn't change. Like you said, I think the biggest winner is probably Christian Kirk, Evan Engram as well. But I'm more excited about Christian Kirk more than anybody in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I believe Devin Duvernay signed with Jacksonville as well. Not that it's really fantasy relevant, but you know, adding more targets for Trevor Lawrence, and I believe he was top 5 in pass attempts. So it's only better just add more pieces to him. Another little piece, we've got Devin Singletary going to the Giants on a 3-year deal, leaving Houston, who played pretty well the back half of the season, filling in for Damian Pierce. So I'm not saying that he's going to do pretty well behind this god-awful offensive line for the Giants, but I don't know. Fantasy, you guys excited here?
Only thing I'll say is that, like, it wasn't – okay, if I had to be nice, like say something nice about Devin Singletary, he didn't just like fill in for Damian Pierce. He kind of just like stole the job. After Damian Pierce had the electric year 2 years ago, I feel like Damian Pierce was drafted, you know, not highly, but, you know, he was expected to start for you and be a contributor. And then he was just MIA the whole year, while Devin Singletary seemed like he was just getting volume. So that was strange. I'm sure... But at the same time, it's like, I'm just not excited about, and like last year, we weren't excited about really anybody on the Giants except for Saquon. You weren't trusting Wandell Robinson. You weren't trusting any of their quarterbacks. And it's like, you know, and now you just have that big downgrade. So I'm almost like preemptively like avoiding all Giants this year.
Yeah. He is not Saquon Barkley. This is not a one for one fill in for sure.
Check. Yeah.
No, we double checked. And Houston did everything they could to not get Singletary involved for the first half of the season. He was barely getting touches for the first third to half of the season, and Pierce was getting everything. And after the bye week, he just, like you said, Mario, he just took over the role, and he played well as a rusher, as a pass catcher. And that even kind of went back to his final year in Buffalo too. He had a long stretch of pretty good dominant performances heading into the fantasy playoffs. I like Singletary as a best ball kind of zero running back strategy at this point in time, because all the top names are off the board. They're probably going to add somebody either in the draft or like an AJ Dillon type, so he's not carrying the entire workload. I don't have any excitement about this offense, but he's going to volume his way into that like borderline RB2, RB3 if everything stays the same and he can stay healthy. So yeah, excitement is a strong word, but you know, the running backs are hard to come by. And he is with Daboll again.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So Daboll, I'm sure, was the one who recruited him. He was the offensive coordinator when Singletary was on the Bills and kind of had that good stretch as well. So we've seen it in flashes, but it's hard when you have zero playmakers around you too.
It'd be interesting if Daboll has his job after this season. Like, he went from such a great rookie coaching year to what happened last year, you know, and then this year, I'm sure it's not going to be much better. But we talked about elite wide receivers. Mario, I know there's one itching. Didn't quite make it to free agency because he's so good. He plays for the Patriots.
He's right. He's the Bourne identity, Kendrick Bourne. We super lightly touched about him when we talked about Antonio Gibson, and we just moved on because admittedly, like, none of the Patriots moves were that exciting. But if you're a longtime listener, you know, Kendrick Bourne last year, week 1, like, he was my number one target of the waiver wire over Puka, over anybody. It was Kendrick Bourne. I saw it with my own eyes because they played the Eagles. I was all in on him, and I'm still all in on him. He's back. He's back from his injury that he suffered last year. He's going to be the number one target with whoever they draft with the third overall pick. And like I said, he missed time due to injury, but before he got hurt, he averaged 12.5 points per game. Same as Christian Kirk, who we were just talking about how excited we are about, and Garrett Wilson, who it was a first, second rounder last year. So what I'm saying is you can get great value with Kendrick Bourne. If you're in Dynasty, I think he's a great buy target. And I mean, in redraft, which is light years away, but just remember that name, Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, I like the re-signing as a Patriots fan. It was an extremely team-friendly deal. There's not very much guaranteed at all. I don't think he's a wide receiver one in the NFL, but he's a good locker room presence. He's a good blocker. He's a solid receiver. He's a good player all around. And he was kind of sitting in that wide receiver two range for quite some time, and he might just dominate targets again. So I agree with you there.
I can't wait.
I just took him in me and Brian's startup league. I took him pretty late as well.
Good value. I'm telling you, like, you just drafted Garrett Wilson in round 15.
That's exactly how I feel.
It's usually consensus. Talking about a receiver that consensus really doesn't like, Jerry Jeudy, former first round pick of the Denver Broncos, has been traded for, he's essentially twice as good as Mac Jones. Traded for a fifth and a sixth round pick. Pretty sure a sixth round pick came back in that trade, but very ugly from where Jerry Jeudy has fallen from the dynasty or the fantasy football heavens down to, hanging out with the Jameis Winstons of the world and the Mike Gesickis. But I don't know. He's going to plug in here with Elijah Moore. Mari Cooper's still there. They do have David Njoku. So does he fix his career here? Is he too old? Are we done with this? Do we even bother? Or is this just good for Deshaun Watson, just giving him another tool to throw to?
Well, historically, most people fix their careers in Cleveland, I've noticed. So this probably should be good for him. I mean, we all want to believe in Jerry Jeudy. I think he probably takes over in two wide receiver sets, and it's going to be him and Amari Cooper. It's probably more bad news for Elijah Moore and Cedric Tillman. I don't think it's a bad move for the Browns. Trade a fifth and sixth rounder for previous first round pick and just take your chances. Probably a slight uptick for Deshaun Watson too, who the public hates with all their might. So if you got Deshaun, I'd probably be happy with it. At least you know it's a talented young receiver who's still coming into play. But again, Denver had, I believe, like a second, if not a third, at least on the table to get rid of Jerry Jeudy last year and didn't do it. And it's kind of the same thing with Derrick Henry. And I look at some of these organizations, and you know you're not going to re-sign them. You're not making the playoffs. What are you doing? And now you're sitting here with a fifth and a sixth rounder, which does not, you know, equate to a second rounder. So it's just a confusing move on all ends. But, you know, slight uptick for the Browns probably won't make any difference for Jeudy.
Mm-mm. And like what you're talking, like, I know you mentioned like Derrick Henry is one that could be traded. It's like, at least I could wrap my head around, like, you know, the jersey sales and the merch. And it's like, okay, that's exciting. But like, yep, Jerry Jeudy, cool. Who's buying Jerry Jeudy jerseys?
Yeah. Year right, five in Denver, everyone's like storming.
Yeah. I'll get one only now that they're like $5 on the clearance rack, but no.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, they were already $5 on the clearance. The only thing I was just going to add is I agree with all of that. But it just is crazy to me that it feels like a year ago we were debating. It's like Sutton or Jeudy, like we're ranked dead right next to each other. And, you know, Sutton, what he ended up missing some time, I believe, if he finishes wide receiver 35. But he was pretty consistent for low yardage and a touchdown. And Jerry Jeudy finished wide receiver 50, who was like barely had a pulse. So that was just an interesting thing, how wrong we can be in the preseason rankings.
What wrong? Wrong? Is that what you said? I've never heard that word. Minimal news here. We've got Gardner Minshew worked himself into a deal out of Indy. Almost took the team to the playoffs, but now he will be taking his talents off to Vegas and, I guess, compete with Aiden O'Connell and maybe the quarterback that they draft. I really don't know what they're doing in Vegas.
I think they're just targeting just like attractive quarterbacks. Like, they went from Jimmy Garoppolo to now Gardner Minshew. So they just want just alpha, just like sexy guys to be their quarterback.
Drafting Sam Hartman. The wildly different versions of sexy.
Yeah, no, but right, like one's like the clean cut, and then now you have like this more like grizzled, like the, like he could be on the brawny thing.
Yeah, he's got the mustache, and he like lives in a van the whole off season. Beach with the grandmothers in Florida.
Yeah, listen, both of them are pulling, but it's just like that's what I imagine the Raiders are targeting this off season.
Yeah, Antonio Pierce came in, and he's like, "If you give me this job, I'm gonna get the most handsome guy out there."
Gardner Minshew.
Listen, it worked.
I think they'll still, I imagine they're still going to target someone in the draft. Obviously, they don't think Aiden O'Connell is the answer, but the money, you know, it's not the same as the Mariotas and Brissettes or Darnolds. It's not 1 year, $10 million. It's 2 year, $25 million. So suggest he's going to be at least the short-term starter there. Minshew, you know, he's that gunslinger. I keep rooting for him. I hope he has that Ryan Fitzpatrick sort of career and just plays for half the teams in the league and makes it for 15 years. That's like what my dreams of Minshew are. I know you're sad, Brian, because you see him leave.
We got Flacco.
Oh, yeah. Okay with
it. Yeah. Indianapolis got Flacco.
The last thing I'll say about Minshew is that I think this is excellent for Davante Adams. Like that was one of the biggest things last year where I feel like we saw Adams still had the talent, but it was a combination of McDaniels hated just throwing the ball, like getting him the ball, and Jimmy G just physically could not get him the ball. So I think that with Gardner Minshew, I see Adams just skyrocketing back up. I think people are going to kind of downvalue Adams after last year, but it's like, just keep your eye on the prize. I think Adams is going to produce this year.
And that's a good point.
We saw it with Pittman.
Pittman was right there at the end of the year.
No shame. He'll hyper-target one guy. He doesn't care.
Like me and Madden. Yeah.
So out of all the running backs, I feel like there was probably a good 6 to 8 pretty higher name running backs that, you know, that went to a different team. And I didn't hate most of them. They're probably like either excited to neutral. This one gets under my skin. We know the Chargers with their new head coach, they're going to run the ball. They brought in Greg Roman. They're going to run the ball. 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 So what did they do? They go and grab the one guy that could ruin anyone from being a bell cow. Gus freaking Edwards, the guy who had like 8 touchdowns in 5 weeks last year for the Ravens. It's ridiculous because obviously he's not going to be the dude. So they're going to bring in a rookie or somebody else. So this is going to be split up. He's going to be vulturing touchdowns.
Yep.
Blood pressure is going up. I can't do it. Gus Edwards is ruining stuff for us. And I don't know if we quite understand what's happening here. Because Blake Corum from the Michigan,
I think you called it, Brian, on last week's episode. I think it's looking more and more like Corum's going to be overdrafted, maybe in the second round or third round or something by Harbaugh here.
God, it's not fun. I guess it just seems like we're capped on our outcome. Herbert already should be pulled back a little bit from this high running offense that we're looking at. So,
well, I did think it was funny that the Chargers were heavily linked to Saquon, despite being like $60 million under the cap. It was like bottom three. And it was just like, there's no way in the world they can make this work. They would have to cut half the team in order to sign Saquon here. So not even close. Instead, it's 2 years, Gus Edwards. I think that was far more likely to be the outcome.
Joe Mixon got cut. Wait, no, he didn't. We thought he was going to get cut, but last second Texans say, hey, send him this way. We'll give you a 7th round pick. So since he has said we'll take something over nothing, but I like it. I think this is a great plug for him.
I love it. I am stoked for him. We saw last year that, you know, we talked about a little bit with Singletary, but Damian Pierce just seemed like he became a non-factor. So I kind of see the same thing for Joe Mixon, where he's just going to be the undisputed number one bell cow there in Houston. Last year, Joe Mixon finishes running back 6th. I feel like that's just like not talked about enough. He was the 6th best running back, averaged 15.5 points per game. And he was just available and healthy. Like, I know in the past years, you know, people are following Ben Baby on Twitter because it's just like, you know, what's going on with Joe Mixon? Why is he missing so much time? But he was relatively healthy last year. He's no opposition. And we know CJ Stroud is just a good offense in Houston. So I'm really excited. And last thing, and maybe anecdotally, but we've just seen AFC South running backs. I don't know what it is in the water down there, but like you think about Travis Etienne, you think about Derrick Henry, like Jonathan Taylor. It's just like Brian, you know, like dudes just run well in the AFC South. So I'm excited about Joe Mixon here.
It's because we didn't have quarterbacks to throw the ball. What else was there to do?
Yeah, I put sneaky good landing spot for Mixon, and it doesn't feel like it's sneaky at all after hearing you two. I reiterate everything you guys said. Another kind of contender buy for me in Dynasty. He should dominate touches with Singletary gone. Obviously, they don't trust Damian Pierce at this point. They might add somebody in the draft, but probably not going to be with high capital. So I think Mixon's in very good shape here. And as far as getting cut or traded, he probably is pretty happy with where he ended up.
Definitely.
Yeah, speaking of those hard-running AFC South guys, Zach Moss, somebody who everybody thought was just a guy up in Buffalo, came to Indy and proved his spot and also proved that Moss grows on the east side of the rock in Cincinnati because nice. That's where he's headed. 2-year deal, $8 million, and I'm holding back expectations a little bit because Zach Moss, we got a pretty good line in Indianapolis, so what he was running behind was pretty good. But I feel his opportunities, he should still be able to run away with it, even if he's not this explosive, top three, top five guy that he was for that beginning stint last year.
Yeah, I'm excited about this spot. You know, Cincinnati is kind of, unless they go out and get like draft somebody, but they should be another bell cow role. Like, I think their other guy was Chase Brown that would like occasionally steal some looks from Mixon, but hardly ever, if at all. And you kind of already mentioned it, but Zach Moss stepped up big time in Jonathan Taylor's absence. I mean, you love the volume, and he's going to get an opportunity from me. I think this is a great signing. And I think it's a good price, like 2-year, $8 million. I like that all around.
Yeah, I think it's, I agree. It's a very good price. That's really low risk for what they're going to do. They probably will add somebody, but I think it bumps up Chase Brown a bit for me too, because I don't think he's a three down back, but there was one play where I think he set the speed record on the season. And
that reception he had.
Yeah, towards the end of the year. Yeah. They were getting him involved more and more. So I still think he's going to get like his 8 to 10 touches. And it doesn't seem like it's going to be between the tackles, but a lot of design plays for him, a lot of screen passes, a lot of pitches outside and stuff like that. So I do think it'll be Moss will be leading the backfield, but I think Brown is got a sneaky good buy right now too. And just somebody who has that big play upside. Like everybody loves Keaton Mitchell. And I think Chase Brown is kind of like the Bengals version of Keaton Mitchell, who won't ever dominate the backfield. But if you start him on that right week, then you're probably going to end up winning.
I think a good upside swing, too, for Chase Brown as well is T. Higgins was tagged with the franchise tag, but also requested a trade. So if we do see him move, we don't have, you know, elite pass catchers behind Jamar Chase. So that does open up more, you know, pass catching abilities for these two running backs who are, you know, both more than capable.
Yeah, and this was all done with Browning at quarterback, too. So the offense with Browning at quarterback, every pass was under 5 yards. And it took the NFL like 4 weeks to figure this out. And it was really baffling to keep watching the games and be like, will somebody step up and just stop this? But with Burrow on the field, it's going to be an entirely different offense, an entirely different game.
I don't know. Browning's a top 32 quarterback. I saw a quote from his mom. That's just what the rule says.
That's adorable.
Shout out Mrs. Browning.
A running back, Derrick Henry. I knew where he was going. Nick knew where he was going. Mario, I know you knew where he was going. We all knew where this guy was going. But he finally lands in the scariest place he could, in Baltimore. You're telling me we're having Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson doing some RPOs? Oh, my goodness. Just went 6 to midnight. You know what I mean? Like, woo-hoo, gray sweatpants are tight. I'm so excited for this one. I can't... 30, 31, however old he is. I don't care. I'm still going hard for Derrick Henry this year. So excited.
Stoked. I mean, Trax Trocito, like, I'm one of his biggest fans. Like, I mean, he's won me so many fantasy championships. I owe a lot to Derrick Henry, and I'm so happy to see this offense. It's going to be electric. My biggest fear, like, is just it seems like there's something in the water about running backs getting hurt in Baltimore. So I'm not going to listen. We're knocking on wood, but that's my only comment about this. It's obviously great. I think he's going to continue. I think he's going to do really well here. I'm just worried about Baltimore.
Yeah. It's been a bad stretch for them.
Y'all heard it here first. If he gets hurt, pitchforks, you know, we're coming for
him. I knock on wood. I don't know if we're doing video podcasts yet, but we're knock on wood.
Next one we're going to talk about, I don't even have time to fit in words because I know Nick's going to wrap it up. He's going to tell us everything we need to know. Oh, yeah. Tell us.
It's funny because I'm really not that big of a believer. I just had him as like a kind of buy low as free agency started in a lot of me and Brian's conversations. And really, that was really hoping that he ended up with the Chiefs, which he was seeming to be linked with for a bit of this free agency until he signed with Atlanta. 3 years, $39 million. My pitch was he's a smaller guy, but he creates separation. He's a field stretcher. His fit with Justin Fields just hasn't been there the last few years. I thought if he got with a quarterback who was based more around timing routes and somebody like Kirk Cousins, then he could be in a lot better of a position. So I kind of see him as a, you know, this is a stretch a little bit, but Jordan Addison light in this Atlanta offense. Because they've got Drake London taking over the Justin Jefferson role, and Darnell Mooney kind of coming in as that smaller slot receiver who can play the middle of the field a little bit more. So I think in a PPR format, he's going to have a little bit, but we have seen 1,000-yard season from him a few years ago, and until he broke his ankle, I believe it was 2 years ago, things were still looking up for him at this point. So this is a chance to revive his career. I think the money shows that Atlanta believes in him, and the fit with Kirk Cousins is going to be a lot better than the fit with Justin Fields was.
Not that I'm fully team Mooney here, but just to kind of give you a little flame to the fire on 40% of the deep targets that Darnell Mooney has had in his career have been inaccurate. The most accurate quarterback throwing 20-yard passes or more, Kirk Cousins. So I don't know. Is that puzzle piece?
If you watched the Bears last year, you saw it. There were a few plays where you just see him in the end zone or beating the safety, and it would just be overthrown by like 3 yards. And you're like, any normal quarterback, any average throwing quarterback who isn't kind of based around their rushing skill set is going to be able to hit that throw. And the opportunity wasn't, you know, he's not DJ Moore who can compensate for that, but he's good enough to be a slot number three receiver who can kind of bring value in PPR format, probably end up with 4 or 5 touchdowns on the year or something like that. But with all the other talent they have on the team, the year he put up the 1,000-yard season, he was the number one receiver as a 5th-round rookie with Justin Fields, I'm pretty sure at that point too. But he's not going to be the main focus this year. They're going to have to focus on Bijan. They're going to have to focus on London, on Pitts, on even Algier. Like, we all hate on Algier, but Algier has played well for 2 straight years. So he's going to be like the 4th or 5th guy that defenses pay attention to. And I think he's going to be able to bring a little bit of value back, more than I think what people are viewing him as right now.
I like it. Jameis Winston, that crab-stealing SOB, he could not contain himself down there in New Orleans. So he's heading up to Cleveland where they're...
He's eating W's.
Yeah, there was a crab joke there to be made, but maybe I'll pull back a little bit. but yes, up in Cleveland, backing up Deshaun Watson. And I mean, it's all narrative-based, but this is going to be so much fun, just personally, for the fantasy community, if and when he gets that shot this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nothing to say. It's tough to talk about the backup, but you're right. Like, I mean, if he comes in, I mean, everybody always wants to see Jameis replicate his 30 and 30 season. So, I mean, never root for injuries, but we love seeing Winston play.
Oh, those fingers crossed. Let me fix that. Oops.
Yeah.
Austin Eckler. Mario, tell me about the guy. He's heading to Washington, and I just don't know what to think here.
Oh, my gosh. This one's kind of interesting because he's going from a land where he was the certified bona fide bell cow number one. Now in Washington, Gibson went to Robinson. Okay, I knew one of them left. So still Brian Robinson, who came back from a gunshot and he looked great last year. So I don't, like, you know, he's going to go down swinging. And Eckler really just wasn't himself. He seemed like he lost a little bit of step last year. It's going to be tough. I mean, the biggest one for me is, like, this is just more personally, anecdotally. Like, he's another one. I have him in a lot. He's, like, my keeper in a lot of leagues. I have him in Dynasty. So, like, I'm always rooting for Austin Eckler. But now to go to a division rival, Commanders, I don't know. We're in the twilight of his career. We're like, we're excited about like Derrick Henry and like his new opportunities, and then almost like the opposite about Austin Eckler, where it's just like, you know, he's going to be there with a rookie quarterback probably, and it's just going to be. I don't know if I'm optimistic. I mean, where you're taking like the fourth round maybe in redraft, and hope you get a seal.
Yeah, I don't, he's going to be in that RB dead zone like 100%.
Yeah,
I'd probably let him go a little bit longer, but he does reunite with Anthony Lynn, who I believe is a running backs coach over in Washington now. I hope that they recognize where he is in his career at age 29 and that they use him as the third down back and keep Brian Robinson kind of in that one and two role like we were talking about with Ramondre and Antonio Gibson. But I think that would be the best way to deploy him at this point. You know, 2-year, $8 million contract. That's the same as Zach Moss. I think the height of his career is over. If you haven't sold him in Dynasty, you're probably just riding him out at this point and hoping that he can bring you some PPR value.
Just for comparison's sake, so 2-year, $8.5 million. Noah Fant, who we haven't talked about, I'm just jumping into him. 2-year, $21 million.
It's
Brian. Do you wanna rebuttal here?
Well, Noah Fant deserves it. He's a freaking awesome athlete. I think. You know.
Oh my god! You chose the wrong guy, Mario.
I guess so. I just the two numbers are right there next to each other.
No, but I know.
It's pretty sad seeing Austin Eckler. You know, it's that age old thing. Don't be a running back in the NFL.
Don't be a running back. I guess it's just
they don't pay you. But Noah Fant, he stays in Seattle. Will Disley is out of there, and Colby Parkinson's out of there. So maybe we get to see this athletic freak of a tight end and Noah Fant finally blow up in Seattle. But with Tyler Lockett got extended, so he's not going anywhere. DK Metcalf, he's definitely not leaving. So between that first round pick JSN and then two pass catching running backs, let's go Geno, I guess.
Yeah, he's not going to be elite probably, but there have been a lot of tight ends who have taken 4 or 5 years to develop, and Seattle has famously used all three of these tight ends in the most annoying way possible. So to see those other guys leave and have Fant stay here alone, I don't think he's going to ever dominate, but it seems like he shows up in the red zone when you kind of forget about him and they kind of start using everybody else's decoy at that point. So I just picked him up in a dynasty league. Brian's been talking about him as a buy low for the last few weeks. And now he's kind of got the tight end room to himself. So if there's a time to go get him, you can probably grab him for cheap, if not free.
Talk about cheap. I love me some being hurt. I just love putting myself in that turmoil. Irv Smith Jr. has going on to what this is now his third team. He's leaving the Bengals, heading to Kansas City. We'll be playing. Is Noah Gray still there? I guess I'm not sure if he'll be playing second or third.
Yeah. Noah Gray, Leominster legend, Mario.
Leominster, yeah, Blue Devil. Oh, I know. I see.
Yeah. Also, for all you listeners, Mario and I found out that we go to the same high school. Well, we graduated from the same high school.
Yeah. We don't currently still go to it.
Yeah. We just check in once in a while. No, we graduated from the same high school a long time ago, and we both live across the country right now, but we figured that out right before the episode, which was pretty small cool. World. And shout Noah Gray. Johnny Appleseed, and shout out to Noah Gray. Yeah. But anyway, on to Irv Smith's decline of a career.
Irv Smith, this is all but nothing here, but if anybody can figure it out, it's got to be Andy Reid, who can figure out how to use this guy, because first round pick out of Alabama, very, very athletic tight end.
Yep. I mean, I also think that we saw a little bit with how Kelsey kind of was like during the regular season last year. It seems like that Kansas City is almost just similar to what the Patriots did with Gronk towards the tail end of Gronk's career, where it's like, Gronk, like, you're not going to play all the games. We're going to conserve you. And then we're just going to unleash you in the playoffs. So I kind of see maybe a little bit of that happening here in Kansas City, where it's like, I'm not saying Kelsey's going to miss a ton of time, but it wouldn't shock me if you would just see his snaps go down a little bit. We just throw in some filler. And then when it comes to playoff time, that's when Kelsey's going to thrive. So that's my note about Irv Smith Jr.
Not senior. Another little.
Listen, juniors for juniors represent. That was always a big thing. Like, you know, got to represent juniors around here.
Mike Gesicki Sr. Signed a deal on his 46th birthday today, or that's what it seems like, because, damn, he's been out here forever. off to Cincinnati to fill in that tight end role that doesn't seem to do a whole lot. And then I guess the last one, we briefly touched on it, Deontay Johnson is leaving the Steelers, being traded to the Panthers to give Bryce Young just any sort of help. Looks like he's going to plug into that Adam Thielen role and just be targeted for everything.
Yeah, there's really no competition there. I mean, Miles Sanders was someone I was really high on last year. Ended up not really doing much. Chuba Hubbard, I really couldn't even tell you his contract situation. But so it's just like Deontay Johnson is, doesn't have a lot of opposition. So you put it perfectly. He'll probably get that Adam Thielen role where a guy who in fantasy mostly went like undrafted or a late round flyer. And it's just like, wait, he got 100 yards and a touchdown every week because he's the only one that can catch the ball.
Yeah, it seems like Deontay's a buy low for pretty much his entire career. And the landing spot isn't going to help here, but I don't hate it. Thielen was, like you said, Thielen was like a wide receiver one for the first half of the season. And you see him averaging probably 12 targets a game. Deontay's an elite separator, probably like top five, top 10 separator in the league. And you saw how Pickens was playing pretty well in the beginning of the year. And as soon as Deontay came back, Pickens wasn't getting targets at all because Deontay was the number one. So Bryce Young isn't as bad as everyone thinks. I don't know if he's going to pan out. You can watch some replays of him making good throws and receivers doing the most ridiculous acrobatics to not make a catch. Like I remember just sending friends Instagram reels and being like, what is this player doing here? And Deontay's that good, though. He's going to get targets. It's only going to help Bryce Young a little bit more. But if people are low on Deontay because of the landing spot, then he's still going to be a solid wide receiver three, potentially wide receiver two.
And that seems like it's going to wrap up our free agency freak out right now. For as far as remaining players, wide receivers, Mike Williams did get cut today, right as the new league year started. So we've got him out there. Hollywood Brown is still looking for a team. And then just it's a bunch of little guys out there like MVS, Tyler Boyd, Curtis Samuel, Odell, J.K. Dobbins. Fingers crossed, man. I'm hoping you get a shot with one more team. Too. I always loved him. Deontay Foreman. And then the bell of the ball, Justin Fields. All these rumors, all this movement, he's running out of spots. I think Denver, maybe the Raiders, and then I think Seattle should stick their pen in the ink and see if they can get him for a day three pick to like back up Geno and maybe see if he can slide in there. But Justin Fields is running out of spots. He might end up staying with Chicago and starting the first few games.
Ooh, I think he's a headache. I think a team offers them like a sixth rounder to have Fields as a backup, I'm sure Fields wouldn't like that, but I could definitely, I'll just say like, I know the Eagles, they lost Mariota. I think Mariota went to Washington. And so, like I said, I heard just some rumors on Eagles Twitter about how they might be looking at Fields as just like a backup, because why not if the price is right? But it's definitely looking like starting jobs are very much dwindling. So you have to think it's going to be a backup somewhere.
Yeah, I think reports were saying that teams were, most of the offers were coming in as a backup role, which is pretty shocking, honestly. And seeing Mariota too, just throwing that out there. My guess is Howell will get traded, seeing Mariota come in there. I also put a bet on Jaden Daniels being the second overall pick yesterday because it just feels like everything Washington's doing is leaning towards more of an RPO offense as opposed to a Drake May-led offense. And with Kingsbury, why would they bring in Mariota? Howell wasn't horrible last year. He was put into a pretty horrible position. but, you know, has Mariota been better? For more, and are you going to pay Mariota more money than what you have Howell on the hook for? So I don't know. But yeah, it looks sad for Fields. I don't know. I don't think he's the most amazing passer by any means, but I feel like he's athletic enough that an offense can use him properly if they actually give him some weapons.
I have just one last note. I noticed we didn't talk about any Cowboys acquisitions. Maybe it's just the Philly fan in me, but I noticed there was no.
Well, it's too long of a list. We're going to have to go through that on a whole separate episode. Oh, wait.
Okay.
Jerry had done squat.
Yeah.
They did just about as much as the Patriots.
Yeah,
I listen, saw they, saying, Patriots re-signed Kendrick Bourne, so they did enough. Like the Patriots did more than enough.
Yeah,
went out and got Brissett, you know, Gibson.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw a report that Jerry Jones said that he they were in the running for Zach Moss, but he was just a little too rich for his blood at a 2-year, $8 million contract.
Oh, that's almost
they're still paying
money.
Zeke. I'm pretty sure they're paying Zeke for the 2024 season. So
bring him back.
You know, dummies. Do it. Well, everybody, we can't thank you enough for stopping by listening for us. Nick, you want to plug anything? Let everybody know where they can find you.
Next week, I start driving to Alaska where I live for the summer. So you can find me there because I don't have Twitter or really any much of social media. So you can find me on QB List. You can reach out to Brian if you need me for anything.
Or just go to Alaska.
Yeah, you can come up to
Alaska.
Hop
in your sled and get behind the dogs.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Mario, what you got for the people?
Yes, of course. Brian, you mentioned at the top of the episode. But, yes, your favorite waiver wire wizard. Of course, there's no waiver wire articles coming out in March. But look forward to those, you know, in 6 months, give or take. You can also find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. out here repping juniors. And that's it. Happy to be back talking fantasy in March.
And then, of course, you can find me all over QB List Podcast. Not the biggest writer, of course. Twitter at @too_much_Brian. And then newly added to the Fantasy Football Advice Network. So if you're looking for more of me, you can find me over there as well. But that's all we've got for you tonight, folks. We'll, subscribe, follow those things. Yeah. Till next week.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.